Welcome to A Daily Dose of Torah, as Rabbi Ruvi Neu masterfully blends a flavorful mix of today's Hayom Yom, Hasidic meditation, Torah portion, Tanya, and Maimonides. Get ready for a delicious and nutritious power booster for your soul. Ready to power up your day? Join Rabbi Neu for the Daily Torah podcast on your favorite podcast provider like Spotify, Apple, and Google. Plug in and power up.
Good morning and welcome to today's edition of 10 Minutes of Torah, today's podcast, Daily Dose of Torah. Today is the 4th of Tammuz, and today's podcast is entitled The End of Shame, and we'll get to that in just a moment. First, we start with the Hasidic anecdote for today, the 4th of Tammuz. Of course, yesterday was the 3rd of Tammuz, the yahrzeit of the Rebbe. And as providence would have it, today's teaching, today's Hasidic teaching, expresses a very profound belief that the Rebbe held and had and demonstrated. Namely, quote, a single Hasid or student who devotes their entire heart, mind, and soul to study Torah and bolster its observance can bring succor, which means can bring great, can create great impact to a large city with all its concerns. The person's endeavors succeed in a manner that transcends the limitations of nature in the merit of the fathers of the world, namely the holy Rebbes and our holy ancestors. And what the Rebbe is talking about here is the seemingly disproportionate impact that individuals can have on large environments. So this is a very core belief of the Rebbe, that everyone is an influencer. Everyone has the capacity to influence. And if we understand that we're anchored in something much larger than ourselves, then the influence is much larger and greater than what we as individuals could accomplish, because we're not just representing ourselves as individuals. Every Jew is a representation of a much larger story. Every Chosid is a representation of his Rebbe, and puts oneself into a completely different sphere in terms of the ability to influence and to impact. So providentially, this particular Hasidic teaching coincides with the yahrzeit of Rabbi Yitzchok David Groner of blessed memory, who was the Rebbe's emissary to my original hometown of Melbourne, Australia, which is a large city and a large a Jewish community. And he very much embodied this teaching, in so much as he was a tremendous force of impact in the community, created very, very large and successful institutions, and all born not only of hard work and determination, but born of the realization that he is an agent of the Rebbe, an emissary of the Rebbe, and thus carried with him the ability to influence in a way that's much greater than what he would have been capable of on his own. So this idea of people transforming cities or environments and changing their landscape in a spiritual way is something that I can certainly attest to in terms of what he accomplished in my original hometown. And but this is a very broad principle of how individuals can have very, very disproportionate influence and impact. And of course, as we've mentioned a number of times, the pandemic in its own way is a very, very obvious example of how one lab, one person, one incident in in one province of the universe can have a global impact. But it starts, obviously, within the initial environment that a person is in, and then it filters out from there. So that's the Chassidic teaching for today, the 4th of Tammuz. The talking about representing something that all of us ultimately represent, our Creator, and therefore a force that is more powerful than convention and than nature and than the universe itself, because God is the source, God is the Creator. Today's Torah portion talks about the process of purification for someone who had become ritually defiled through coming in contact with a dead body. And it's the very unusual process called the red heifer, where red heifer is burnt and its ashes are used, sprinkled with water, on an individual who had come in contact with a dead body. And what's interesting, a lot of interesting aspects of this, but one is that this mixture brought purification to the individual who had become ritually impure through touching the dead body. But the priests, the Kohanim, who prepared this mixture became impure in the process. So everything about this process is completely beyond the pale of human logic. How the same process can purify the end user and bring impurity to the one who's bringing purity to the one who's impure is all counterintuitive. And it all points towards the fact that this is a godly program, it's a divine program, and completely beyond the convention of human rationale. And God's saying, well, this is the process. So the Rebbe spoke about this on a personal level after the passing of his wife, the Rebbetzin, in 1988. And of course, this is very relevant, as yesterday we commemorated the Rebbe's Yahrzeit. And the Rebbe grieved tremendously over the passing of his wife. And in drawing from this procedure of the red heifer that, as I said, has so many logic-defying components to it. And I only mentioned one of them, the fact that it brings impurity to the priest who's administering purity to the person who's impure. So the Rebbe said that the end of the day, what we're talking about here is not just only talking about purity in the ritual sense, that someone who touches a dead body becomes impure. There is the legal aspect to that. The Rebbe said there's also the psychological aspect to that. In other words, that a person who comes in contact with death feels impure, feels tremendous, tremendous pain, tremendous grief, and doesn't see a way forward often, can't see a way to ever sometimes return to normalcy. The loss, the pain, the grief is so profound, so gaping, and feels like there's no healing. And the Rebbe said that from a human perspective, that's legitimate, that's real, that's a real sentiment. And ultimately, the capacity for people to be able to move on in life, after experiencing loss, the pain, the grief, and everything that comes with that, is ultimately something that comes directly from God and not something of our own doing. It defies logic, but it does defy logic, because the human logic and rationale would say, you know, and it's just that life will never be the same, and difficult to conceive of a return to normalcy in any way. The Rebbe says, so all of those sentiments are legitimate from a human perspective. And what this whole process is teaching us is that God is the one who ultimately plugs us in to a power higher and greater than ourselves. And that is where the juice comes, to be able to continue living life and embrace life in a full and a complete way. So that's the Torah reading for today. And this brings us to the Tanya for today, the very fascinating discussion about the 22 Hebrew letters. The 22 Hebrew letters are the DNA of the universe, which means this is the mechanism through which God created the world, the Hebrew letters. Each one of the letters is like a stream of energy. And its graphic design is the way in which that energy is particularly channeled into the universe. So all phenomena, everything that exists in the universe is a particular combination and constellation of Hebrew letters. That is the DNA of the universe. And the Alter Rebbe talks about the idea of letters, obviously, as we know them, they exist in two conscious spaces. One is the spoken word, when we speak letters, when we communicate. And in that form, in that when we speak letters, we speak words, they become externalized, they're out there. And then we have the letters as they exist within our mind, within our brain, before we actually communicate them. So the difference between, one of the differences between human speech and divine speech is that when we speak, that is the way we can create, talking about influence and impact, because through our communication, we can inspire, we can impact, we can create things. God, not only does creation come about as a result of his spoken communication, God's thoughts also create worlds. And this is the concept known in Kabbalah as hidden worlds and revealed worlds, meaning when God speaks words into actual what the equivalent of verbal communication, this creates what we call the revealed world. The revealed world is the world that we see. God's thoughts create hidden worlds, which means the reality that we don't see. Ultimately, they all come from the same source, which means that a lot of what we see is actually only the lowest rung of what's really happening in a more hidden way at a deeper level of consciousness, which we can plug into. And this is actually one of the differences between the days of the week, the 6 days of the week, and Shabbat. Shabbat is a product of the energy of the spoken word. And therefore, we relate to the world more in more based on what we see. And therefore, we see an imperfect world and work for 6 days a week to make it better. On Shabbos, we plug into the world as it's the product of divine thought. And there, the quote-unquote hidden world is a more wholesome world, is a more unified world. And so on Shabbat, we're not in fixed mode. We're not trying to improve or fix or make anything better. We plug into and connect to the wholesome energy that is. So that's the a little bit from the Tanya for today. And for the, as to the title of today, The End of Shame, yesterday was the, as I mentioned, the passing, the anniversary of the passing of the Rebbe, the Gimel Tammuz, the 27th anniversary. Yesterday is also the 40th anniversary of the cycle of daily study of Maimonides' Book of Jewish Law, which is one of the things we included each in our segment each day, called Mishneh Torah, which means the repetition of the Torah. And he also wrote, along with that, a book called Sefer HaMitzvot, which documents all of the 613 mitzvot, the commandments. And of course, we include this each day. So today we're starting the new cycle of daily study of three chapters of the Book of Jewish Law called Mishneh Torah, compiled by the great medieval sage Maimonides, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, lived in the 11th, end of the 11th, beginning of the 12th century, from Cordova, Spain, and Morocco, and ultimately was buried in Tiberias in Israel after living for a number of years in Egypt. And he begins each section of Jewish law, with a quotation, with a verse quotation from the Bible. And the one that he opens the entire book with is this verse. Oz lo evosh behabiti al mitzvosech. This is a quote from Psalms, in which King David says, "Then I will not be ashamed when I will behold your commandments." And in the context of the study of Maimonides Rambam, what this means is this: that one of the unique elements of studying the laws of Jewish law, as compiled by Maimonides, by the Rambam, is that it is the most comprehensive work and body of Jewish law. There's no other code of Jewish law that actually covers all the 613 commandments, which means the commandments that also pertain to the existence of the temple and many of the laws associated with that. All of the other codifiers of Jewish law deal with law that is practically implementable now in the state of exile. Maimonides is the only one who covers the entire spectrum of Jewish law. So if a person wants to know every Jewish law, and a person wants to know every mitzvah, every commandment, and every law, there's only one address, and that's Maimonides Rambam. And therefore, it's an obligation and incumbent upon every person to study Rambam, because we have an obligation to know every mitzvah, to know all of Jewish law. And there's only one way to accomplish that, and that is through the study of Maimonides' compilation of the Jewish law. And therefore, he starts the whole compilation with, "I will not be embarrassed when I look at your mitzvahs," because we don't want to be embarrassed or ashamed of, what are the mitzvahs then? Mitzvahs, what are they? How many are there? What do they entail? So there's the answer to the end of shame is daily study of Rambam, Maimonides. And then we can all be not ashamed of what we don't know, but proud of what we do know. So join us each day as we journey through Rambam's compilation of Jewish law, so that we will all gain much knowledge and insight and familiarity with our very own Torah, which is the very purpose of our being in this world, to learn it, love it, live it. Make it a great day. And thanks for joining. Tomorrow we'll be broadcasting on Jewish.tv's Facebook page. Look forward to seeing you there, God willing. Make it a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to today's Daily Dose of Torah. For more life-enriching wisdom from Rabbi New, and to sponsor a Daily Dose of Torah, go to BocaBeachChabad.com.